This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to HeartWise. I hope you're all interested and want to learn some new interesting subject today. Today we brought our health correspondent, Tim Coaches, in with us, and he's been doing some research on some hot topics that are in the news across the United States and the world. So, Tim, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you so
much. What do you got going on today?
Oh, well, I tell you, you go on the news, you see things happening either in the World Wide Web where you see it pop up on your screen about what's happening in the news, and there's always something in there about health. And then you watch your morning news and you see something there, or it's on one of these TV shows. Mm-hmm. So everybody's asking these questions of what's happening. But at the same time, we've got some interesting articles that I want to bring up.
Now, how have you got this information?
Well, this information is done by doing a little bit of research here.
Okay.
We all see it, but these are the type of things where you see the article and you're like, wow. But if somebody made note of it and they put it on the front page of one of these newspapers or in a magazine, they want people to know about this. They're questioning it. And we want to look at this because we want to put our own little spin on this. We want to know what's going on. So we're going to ask these questions.
Right. And you know, you have so much information out there on the internet. Mm-hmm. These are stories that are published in leading journals, and they want to get the message out to the people. But we also want to put, you know, a biblical perspective on all these topics. Right.
Yes.
So what's the first article?
Well, the first one comes out of the New York Times, and the headline reads, "Surgery is found to aid or help diabetes." Now, this is from the New York Times from March 27th, 2012.
Okay.
What is that all about?
I read that article too. And actually, the New York Times put it on their front page. So, you know, that's one of the leading newspapers in America. And two studies that have been done recently have actually found that weight loss surgery, you know, you've heard of those. Mm-hmm. That's bypassing the stomach as well as bariatric, the banding, can reverse and possibly cure diabetes. Now, it doesn't do this anything chemically other than helping a person lose weight. So the whole idea is they put these, you know, they lose that extra weight's what's triggering the diabetes. With 33% of the population obese and another 30% overweight, it's no great surprise that right now 8% of the adult population is diabetic. And this is such a concern because diabetes hurts your eyes, your circulation, your kidneys, it damages your nerves.
Now, we already know that we've seen articles about children having diabetes, which has never been seen in such a young age, but it had a lot to do with weight.
Yes, and type 2 diabetes, this is not type 1, but type 2 diabetes is brought on by excess weight. Mm-hmm. And these studies showed surgery, surgery, you know, that's that on the stomach to bypass that, helped more than medications in treating diabetes.
Okay. Now, was this just on getting rid of the weight in general?
That's exactly right. And the surgeries cost between $15,000 and $30,000.
Wow.
Now, gastric bypass, that's one of the surgeries where the stomach is reduced to a very small pouch, and actually it's reconnected to the small intestine. So that's one type of surgery. However, once you have that type of surgery, you know, you can never eat
you
a
can't
whole
reverse
lot,
it
right?
And,
yeah, your body changes dramatically. Mm-hmm. There's some risk with that. Banding, okay, also limits the size of the stomach. And Dr. John Buse of the University of North Carolina in this study, the New York Times, he says he calls this a major advance. Now let's put the HeartWise, you know, let's see what HeartWise thinks about. Well, let's back up a moment, Tim, and think this through. Many of the diabetic medications, such as insulin, they act as growth factors and make a person more hungry from a chemical mechanism. Most of the diabetes medicines make you more hungry.
Makes sense.
This is sort of like a growth hormone. Now, I agree that for type 2 diabetes, you know, the ones that we get usually because we get excess, I agree that they're not doing a good job for type 2 diabetics. And diabetes is important to treat because it's a major cause of heart disease, strokes, kidney disease, and neuropathy. But these studies at the New York Times that they quoted, they were actually reported in the New England Journal of Medicine, and they presented these at the American College of Cardiology in Chicago. They identified the problem of obesity, and yes, surgery can get rid of extra weight. But my question to you, Tim, is just think about it. Do you think there is a better way? Why destroy the stomach, an organ so elegantly designed to break down nutrients. Does that make sense to you?
It doesn't make sense because we at HeartWise always preach, go the natural way.
Yes.
Have self-control. Create a better habit for a happier, healthier life.
That's right. And if I were having a headache from banging my head on the wall, morphine could help the pain. But would this be the real solution?
Right.
No. In obesity, in diabetes, that 8% of the population has, the real problem, it's not the stomach's fault. Okay. The real cause is too many calories and, just like I said, not enough exercise or movement. And these two studies, again, they follow these patients for a very short period of time, and we don't know for sure what the long-term consequences will be. But basically, it's another quick fix based – another quick fix.
That's it.
And I think that, you know, if we really wanted to look at it, what we should do is we should find ways, instead of spending a lot of money on these new procedures, we as physicians should find ways to help the overweight people by getting at the cause and not just develop another procedure.
And I know a lot of doctors are now starting to say to their patients, you know, have you ever thought about losing some weight?
Yes.
A lot of doctors are afraid to say anything like that without getting backlash.
Yeah, they get mad.
And now they're finally starting to say, you ought to start looking at your weight. If you lose about 20 pounds, you'll start helping yourself.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, to put a spin on this, you know, the article did not emphasize that these patients, in addition to having these surgeries, they were also counseled on nutrition and movement. And that's why they did so well. But we need to develop programs that promote and also reimburse to help people get at the real cause of the problem. And when we start doing this, when we get at the cause of the problems, we don't need all the other stuff. But I've yet to see someone that you know, on a front page of the New York Times, you know, I helped my patient learn that his obesity was causing all this concern. We started one step at a time. We taught him to drink more water. We encouraged him to have a relationship with God and have that power to get him to exercise more or eat a little bit smarter, cut back his calories. We encouraged him and loved him, and the weight came off and diabetes went away. Yay, yay, front page article. This therapy works better than medications. Works better than banding. I've yet to
Where
see that article.
Where did you read that one?
No, I've not.
We haven't seen it yet.
But that's the type of article at HeartWise we want to see, and that's what we approach. Does this help diabetes? Yes. Does it fix the problem? No. Will it create more problems? Probably yes. Be careful. Try to do it. I want to encourage our listeners to try to help yourself doing biblical techniques of losing weight before you jump into these procedures.
And it's scary because surgery is the key word there. They got them kicked off to maybe change or make a lifestyle change in a positive way where they didn't need to do surgery. They just had to kick off and make the change.
That's right.
That's the key.
What else is in the news, Tim?
Okay. AP, Associated Press, and this is within the last week or so, painkillers are soaring along with, well, why are we not surprised?
Yeah.
Abuse.
Yeah, abuse. And this actually came out of the Associated Press. And the study showed that sales of the two of the most popular prescription painkillers have exploded in the country. And those painkillers are causing lots of problems. A few years ago, these medicines were used because we thought we were not treating pain aggressive enough. So that everyone started doing. And what we've seen is, they said in this article, from New York Staten Island to Santa Fe, Drug Enforcement Administration figures, and I'm quoting, they've shown dramatic rises between 2000 and 2010 in the distribution of oxycodone, which is the key ingredient in OxyContin, Percocet, and Percostan, and some places have saw these sales increase 16-fold. Meanwhile, the distribution of hydrocodone, which is the key ingredient in Vicodin, Lortabs, was rising in the Appalachian. And these increases in sales have coincided with the wave of overdose deaths, pharmacy robberies, and other problems all across the United States. In fact, this article states that opioid pain relievers, the pain meds, oxycodone and hydrocodone, caused 14,800 overdeaths in 2008. And as you can imagine, as people prescribe these, even more and more are going to occur. These medicines can kill. They've been implicated in lots of deaths, especially when mixed with alcohol.
And when I saw this article, the interesting thing was, like most people, we looked at it and said, why am I not surprised?
Yeah.
And you probably passed over it like a lot of us. And then we went back and read it and went, you know, we need to do something about this.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who are taking a pain medication because they do need it. The abuse kicks in at a later time when oh man, it feels great.
Yeah.
And that's not it, because this is just a Band-Aid to get you mm-hmm. through a rough time, mm-hmm. period.
And you know, it was estimated that 69 tons of pure oxycodone, 42 tons of hydrocodone in 2010.
Oh, wow.
We're going to talk about this subject, and if we have anyone that's on painkillers, we want them to, you know, see that they might be having a problem with this. We're going to be back with you after the break. If you have any questions, go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org. I'm Dr. Jim Markham with Tim Kochus, and we're looking at articles around the country involving your health. We'll be right back.
Why am I sick?
How can I get off my medications?
How do I get better?
How can I have ultimate healing?
The Ultimate Prescription by Dr. James L. Markham answers these questions and introduces the reader to the ultimate prescription for our lives. This book is available at your local bookstore or online at Amazon.com.
I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the HeartWise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by heartwiseministries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of HeartWise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on heartwiseministries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's heartwiseministries.org.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I talk to patients every day who want to know the truth in healthcare. On our website, heartwiseministries.org, you can have your questions answered. You can read my blog where I talk about interesting and controversial subjects in medicine. You might choose to go to the radio or television sections and learn more about all sorts of health topics. Take the time and go to heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome back to HeartWise. Today, we've been talking about Tim Kochus has pulled articles from all across the United States and world talking about the items that editors think were the most important for their readers to understand. And not only we've been talking about those in the first section, we talked about obesity treatments, not necessarily being a first-line gastric bypass and mm-hmm. bariatric surgery, but let's try to get at the cause. And before our last segment, Tim, we were talking about painkillers. Oxycodone, we threw out some statistics, 69 tons of pure oxycodone, 42 tons of pure hydrocodone in 2010. That's enough to give 45 milligram Percocets and 24 5 milligram Vicamins to every person in the United States. And I think the editors around the country wanted this article to get out because to let people know we have a problem with painkillers.
No, there's a lot of things we have a problem with, but that's mainly one of them right there is the painkillers.
So what we want to know, let people know at HeartWise, if you are taking these medications, let's find out, you know, if the cause of pain can be fixed in some other way, you know, via physical therapy or maybe even surgery. Maybe you can get off these pain medications before they cause an addiction in the brain.
And I believe that's true to help them in the sense that they will be more lucid. There's so many people that are in this world who are really not living a good, clean life.
Last night, I was working in the hospital, and a person who was addicted to painkillers had a hernia repair. And they went home after the hernia repair. They also had some oxygen on them. They took too many pain medications. And the person in the that was staying with them came and saw them. And this person had passed out a lot from taking too much pain medicine. Didn't think much was on. They just decided to turn up the oxygen, went out of the room. They came back 30 minutes and still couldn't rouse this person up. Well, then they called the EMS and they found out the person was asystolic. That's a flat line. They started CPR, put this person on a ventilator. And unfortunately, we're hoping that this person will live, but this overdose caused such a hypoxic, low oxygen to the brain that the brain started to swell and have edema. Wow. But we see this all the time. People mix pain medicines, they get addicted to them. There's these pain clinics and these pill factories all across. People are selling these oxycodones for a lot of money. People get addicted. They have painkillers because they have pain, and it might not be physical pain. It might be internal pain, Tim.
Right. Now, we know that it is a chemical, and our body is chemistry.
Yeah.
And when you take it and you throw it out of kilter, you're going to create problems, and then you're going to introduce another drug or maybe an alcohol or something like that, and it just throws everything out of whack, and that's the problem.
Right. And people quit breathing with it. So, you know, I think the real solution from the HeartWise perspective is let's find out where their pain's coming from. What if it's an emotional pain or someone that has a bad relationship or guilt? Or what if it's someone that just has a pure addiction? You know, let's find and get at the cause. Help this person through the addiction. You know, help them through their pain, no matter what it would be. And rather than banging the head on the wall and just giving a medicine that doesn't fix the problem, let's help that person quit banging their head on the wall. Let's give them help. So if anyone's out there on painkillers, think they might get addicted, go see your doctor. See if there's any way that you can possibly be off these. It might actually save your life.
Well, I'll tell you, at HeartWise Ministries, we believe in prayer, and that's very important. And if you know someone who's having a problem with painkillers and other items like that, pray for them if you have concern for them, because prayer is a very powerful thing.
Absolutely. Tim, did you find any other?
Yes, we've got March 16th, 2012, from the Health and Science magazine. Are sleeping pills dangerous?
Yeah.
Well, let's think about this.
Well, you know, and, you know, we see so many medications that are given, and a lot of them were only intended to be given a very short period of time. However, these, you know, the sleeping pills were only intended for short periods of time. They weren't intended to take day in, day out, year in and year out.
Now that the article is listed as, are sleeping pills deadly?
Yeah.
Well, that's the exact article.
Let's talk about this a little bit. And we know that this is quoting from the article. It says, people who use sleeping pills regularly are far more likely to die prematurely than those who don't, according to this new study. Researchers actually compared the health records of more than 10,000 sleeping pill users with those of other patients of similar ages, health histories, who didn't use the drugs. They found that the heaviest sleeping pill users were 5 times more likely to die of any cause over the study period, and 35% more likely to develop all sorts of other problems, including cancer, than without the drugs. Even those who took only between 1 and 18 sleeping pills per year had a 3.6 times the death risk of non-users. And that's WebMD.com reported that. And then it goes on to say, that quotes, sleeping pills could be as risky as smoking cigarettes, said the author Daniel Kripke, a psychiatry professor at the University of California, San Diego. He estimates that the drugs, including popular brands, are responsible for as many as 500,000 fatalities per year. Now, the critics of this article stated that other experts cautioned that the association of higher death rates with sleeping pill use doesn't prove that the drugs cause fatal illnesses. It might be that those people with serious sleep problems also have other health conditions that lead to early death. But HeartWise, you know, at HeartWise, we want to say, you know, if you're having a sleeping problem, again, we're just treating a symptom. Let's find out why people don't sleep well. We know that caffeine, eating big at night, other health problems in men, prostate problems, chronic pain can affect the sleep, watching television can affect the sleep because you turn on the brain, different types of stimulants and medicine. So let's try, rather than throw a sleeping pill, which might add another layer of complexity and problems to the situation, let's try to, again, find the cause, ask the question, why?
And I like that because there are so many, if I may, commercials on television for this, other Anesta or whatever they call it, and they say, hey, if you ask your doctor if it's right for you.
Right.
I'm like, well, I can't sleep. You're going to get a prescription.
Yeah.
That's scary.
And I asked the question why. Now, have I ever used a sleeping pill once or twice? I think one time I gave someone that had an overnight trip going to Europe a sleeping pill, and he did. But recently I had a patient that took the first sleeping pill in the hospital, and it affected his brain so much that he took all of his clothes off and he wandered outside the hospital naked.
Okay.
So all these sleeping pills affect the cognition of the heart. And the studies haven't shown that it helps you rest better. It mainly knocks you out. So if you can get at the cause of any of these problems, the cause of chronic pain, the cause of obesity, I think we get a theme. The cause of not sleeping well. Let's not just throw on medicines that treat symptoms. Let's ask the question why and get at the cause.
What's causing the problem?
And look, but see, all these articles that are making the front page, what gets me, Tim, they haven't even mentioned the cause.
Right. They're not touching that.
They've had mentioned, that we have this new procedure to do this. Now, this article said that it could be deadly. So I applaud that editor for doing that. They said that it was deadly. And the one on narcotics said that we have a problem. So that's good. But yet, we haven't gone the next step. It's answering a solution. We have to give people a solution to their problems. We just can't just cover it up, say, here, take something else, which could create another problem.
And that begs me to ask the people out there when you're listening to this program that we're going to ask you, ask yourself.
Yes.
What is really, get to the root of it. What's causing this problem? Do a little research yourself before you go to a doctor and then he starts prescribing you some kind of a medicine that you might not be able to get off of.
Right. And I think there's any physician out there that if they have a patient that really says, is there anything I can do so I don't have to take this medication first? They'd say, wow, great. No fix. This is great. No quick fix. No one that's brainwashed by modern technology and the media. This is a patient I can really work with because most doctors want to take they don't want to write all these prescriptions.
Yeah, I believe that. Let's get into another article from March 6, 2012. This is right up your alley. Okay. The American Heart Association in reference to, heart care decisions.
Yeah.
A wider sharing of heart care decisions. Now, you're a behavioral cardiologist.
Yeah.
How does this affect a person if I was going out for help like that?
And this is an important article that they brought up, and it was published in March of 2012, just recently. And they want to spread out the sharing of health care decisions and heart care decisions, all this. And the big question is, what is the appropriate place for the use of technology? We have a lot of technology. Technology is very expensive. Right now, we're spending a lot of money on medical care. Who gets it? Who doesn't get it? And that's what they want more people talking about, because how do we use this technology? As our society is aging, more and more people are going to have heart disease, heart failure. They're going to need more devices, pacemaker, defibrillator, stent, surgery. Now, when a doctor approaches a patient, most often a patient will want whatever medical science has to offer. Well, in this article, the American Heart Association is actually urging doctors to honestly discuss what patients want in their remaining days, because often they get a lot of stuff and they don't have long to live. Will this device or procedure improve quality of life is the question that they're asking doctors to ask the patient. I think it's very important to have this discussion, Tim, and I also hope that doctors can have this discussion with patients and options will be talked about. I found that my practice, that patients and families are reasonable when you talk about the options, expectations, and quality of life issues. Currently, there's really nothing in place to encourage this type of conversation, and this article is slowly paving the way for further discussions. Now, there's a place for modern medicine. It doesn't fix everything.
Right.
There's a place for lifestyle changes, but it doesn't fix everything. But I want to encourage people, in thinking about technology, is first have that relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's the ultimate path to healing. That gives you the power to make the right changes from a lifestyle, and it might be slow, one at a time. That also lets us to know and look at medical science objectively and not use it just to treat symptoms, but as we talked about here and seen in the news, maybe be able to get at the cause of problems so I don't become a medical fatality.
And I think those questions in the AP article from March 6th are brought up because of the health care issue has been brought up in the news.
We have a healthcare dilemma in America.
Yes, we do.
And if you want to have your questions answered, we will do your best to answer and counsel you if you go to our website, heartwiseministries.org, and we'll continue. Tim will continue scouring the articles all across America. We'll put our spin to it. So we want to wish, I'm Dr. James Mark with Tim Coaches, wishing you the best of health. We hope everyone does well out there. And join us next time on HeartWise.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.